You know, if there's one thing about Mamelodi Sundowns that you have to give them credit for, is that Mamelodi Sundowns is a team that is constantly innovating, constantly looking for the next step, constantly looking at how they can get better and go the next bit up the mountain. Mamelodi Sundowns is a team that, in its pursuit of this greatness, is not afraid to take risks. It was a risk bringing in Coach Pizzo, after Neskins, after Stoichkov, after bigger names. It was a risk bringing in a man who was a super sport coach, who had failed at Bafana Bafana, but they found him at the cusp, right when he could still scrap for you and take you out of relegation. But because of his management exposure, he was now becoming a manager. The Bafana job is completely different to a club job, and I think he took those principles into what he did. And they took a huge risk in backing him and giving him everything and changing structures in order to build what Sundowns is today. But part of the problem is that where Sundowns was now is a team that has been great, is a team that was excellent, but it's a team that kept hitting the same bump in the road. The same bump in the road, they couldn't get past it. And I think what happened was Mamelodi Sundowns was then called to take another risk. I did a video last season where I spoke about how Mamelodi Sundowns feels like it's at a crossroads. It's either you continue on with this family appeal, the coaches that are brought from inside, inbred coaches, they've been there for 5, 6, 7, up to 12 years. You don't have to worry about continuation because you keep breeding it from within. But it's a team where the coach can call the chairman and the coach can make all types of changes to the team. But now you are moving into a place where you've brought in a technical director. I think Mamelodi Sundowns got to a point where they wanted to be a modern team. They want to compete with the Real Madrids, the Al Ahlis, teams that feel like they don't have a soul. Teams that feel like they do whatever needs to be done to win, and they are willing to chop and change as long as the ultimate goal is to win. I think Tlhopie Motsepe had a choice to make himself. Looking back at his father's legacy, living in the shadow of his father, and now having to take forward this team and take it into the future. Take forward this team and put his handprint on it, his innovation, his next step on it. And that came with a technical director, Fleming Berg, that has come with getting rid of all of the roots, the trees, the fruits of Coach Pizzo, and that has come with modernizing, quote-unquote, this club. Now, I think what is happening right now is that you're realizing that all of this was a big risk. Because the context is that this is the first time that Mamelodi Sundowns has not called on a coach that has been inside the club for more than 5 years. It's the first time they have not called on a coach that is South African. It is the first time that a coach is going to come in and be a mercenary. And while we hear the great stories overseas about the clubs that took a risk and it all worked out, sometimes the risk doesn't work out. And sometimes some of the things that you're going to face are going to be what's happening right now at Mamelodi Sundowns. Mamelodi Sundowns is in the wilderness. They have not done this before. Mamelodi Sundowns is bringing in coaches that are going to have less influence than before. They're bringing in players that are signing for a team, not that they were found by Coach Pizzo in some development place somewhere and he took them to a restaurant and brought them in. But it's guys who saw Mamelodi Sundowns on the news. They saw Mamelodi Sundowns as a Club World Cup and they're like, we want to go play for that team. They're mercenaries. You already dealt with a mercenary situation where you've got Lucas Ribeiro Costa, who everybody loved and seemed to love the club. But when the chance came, he left. When the chance came, he didn't mind fighting to leave. Because it's not a family anymore. It's a business. That is what is happening at Mamelodi Sundowns right now. The fact of the matter is that Coach Cardoso has the weight of a transition on his shoulders. Because a lot of what he's going to do now is going to influence what happens in the future. Last season, he had an incredible season after what had happened with the Coach Mangoba. And this season was well and truly the first season where Sundowns was outside. And I want to touch on a couple of things. It's very tough to go to a club that has a long-standing culture and try change it. It's very hard. It's very hard to say to people that have enjoyed a specific type of football that, guys, that football, number one, is not winning. You have not done the things that you said you want to do. But then number two, to convince those people that the thing they enjoy, they must put it aside so that they can go win. It's very hard to come into an already established culture and put your ego aside. It's very hard because you've got your own ideas. You've got your own history. You've got your own records. I mean, Coach Cardoso has now made three finals, CAF Champions League finals. Three in a row. And he walks into a place where they tell you, no. Khona lo coach beka khona lana simthandayo. Yes, you beat him. Yes, you did better than him, stats-wise. Mara aina riding. The hardest thing you can fight in the world is a feeling. The hardest thing you can fight in the world is how somebody felt when watching Sundowns. Because nostalgia is a very important thing. It makes you think of what happened before as being perfect, even though Coach Rani wasn't perfect. Even though he stumbled in places where he shouldn't have stumbled, or where you wouldn't expect somebody who's spoken of so highly to have stumbled. Another thing that you find is that you're not only finding past, you're fighting past feelings, but you're fighting future feelings. If Coach Rulani had two more years, he would have won something. If Coach Rulani was allowed to finish his contract, he would have won that Champions League. When you're fighting hypotheticals, it's tough. And unfortunately, he has to be the guy that faces the first attack, the first wave of attacks. Think of it like Coach Unai Emery following Arsene Wenger. Think about Coach Moyes following Sir Alex Ferguson. Think about how hard it was for them in that first transition, when people still think of a team a certain way, still view a team a certain way, and still have stories about a specific team. Coach Cardoso might well be just the first sacrificial lamb for this new Mamelodi Sundowns. But the truth is that this was always going to happen. Here's another thing that I think we downplay. I think Mamelodi Sundowns is a team that was built on competition. It's a team that was built on people being replaced, no matter how good they were. It's a team where Ronwin Williams replaces an Onyango. CAF goalkeeper of the year stood on the stage. Nabo Mohamed Salah from inside the tournament. He stood on that stage. You come into a team where Hlompho Kekana, captain, my captain, long range bomb, one of the most successful captains we've had in the country, gets replaced by Charlie, eventually Mokoena. All through Tate Motsepe's run, a hallmark of Sundowns has been that intense competition. But what's also interesting about this time is that for the first time, you have players that have gone through coaches. You have players that have loved Rulani, maybe not liked Mangoba as much, or not felt as drawn to Mangoba as much. And now they've got another coach who they know who's working on a contract. And the reason why I bring this up was for Rulani, Coach Rulani, to get to his chameleon football. He was allowed to change certain things. He was allowed to get rid of players. He was allowed to have his voice resonate with some guys that would love him for being the guy that gave them their shot, that built a team around them. I use the example of Pep Guardiola walking into Barcelona after coaching the B team, going to the first team and saying to Deco, saying to Ronaldinho, saying to Eto, guys, I don't need you. I don't want you here. I know you guys are on top form. You are the best in the world. You are all of those things. But I need my guys who will listen to me, who will hear me. And by the time he starts bringing up those players, they feel so indebted to him because he trusted them over the previous guys. And because they've got that thing now, they're willing to die for him, to play for him. Think about the resurrected careers as Mourinho arrives and he pulls aside some seniors and he says, guys, I know nothing has happened here. You guys were low. I am going to make you guys stars. You're going to be my lieutenants. There has to be that ability for a coach to come in and speak to a team that he is building. You watch Cardoso speak to Bruno Santos. You watch Cardoso speak to those guys. And I know it's camera work and all of that stuff. I know SuperSport has narratives they're running. But you watch it and you think to yourself, oh, there's players that he connects with. And that Nuno Santos will probably play his heart out for Coach Cardoso. But Willa Mokwena, Willa Sela Mudau, Willa Williams, Willa Shalulile, Willa Libusa, Willa Mudiba, Willa Morena, Willa Zwane. I remember speaking about Uzwane and I asked the question that, are you going to be willing to have a guy sit on the bench that is the savior of the club? And every time you bob and weave or you move a certain way or you leave him out or whatever, the question is always going to come because the guys are right there. What if the current crop of players can't play the system that the coach is bringing in? And I'm not saying that it's such a wild idea because I've just explained to you that I don't think Onyango could play Williams' game. And Coach Rani was allowed to come in, install it, and bring in his own players. And in the grander conversation that we're having here, what does that mean for the state of the club? Because, again, this is going to be the first time going forward that Mamelodi Sundowns probably is not going to keep a coach for 5-10 years or keep a system for 5-10 years. Are you able to deal with the mercenaries? Are you able to bring in players who are going to be here for a while and move out? Are you able to deal with the turnover that you're going to have with all of those things happening? Will a coach be able to get their ideas across if not allowed to prime and bring in and play their own players? I remember saying before the season started that I don't think fatigue is going to be the problem with Mamelodi Sundowns. I don't think fatigue will be the problem. I think the problem is going to be that reminder of a ruthless Sundowns that will still go look out for the best no matter how good you are. They're not going to be able to do that in a transfer window. And that power is not going to be able to be transferred over to Cardoso properly. What's also interesting, I think the third part, I don't want to ramble on too long, but the third part is speaking about the demands of a club. It's easier to meet demands when the demands are internal. It's easier for Coach Rulani to deal with the demands of a Champions League or the ask of a Champions League because, number one, he was there when they won the Champions League, number one. But then, number two, it feels like that demand is coming from him. It feels like that demand is coming from internal to him. He was part of the people who are making that demand. So when you get to choose your own fate, sometimes it's easier to follow that fate. Sometimes it's easier to plan against that thing. But now, if I'm an external person and they're putting the deadline on me, you know, Espanini, when you're at work, they come in and they go, George, finish this by the end of the week. It's a completely different feeling then, hey, when can you have it done? So now, Cardoso is going to also be one of the first coaches that are going to be under the type of pressure that if you don't win those things, you don't sit in a boardroom and plead your case. You don't sit in a boardroom and speak directly to the chairman. You're accountable to people. And what does that do when players and coaches are under pressure? How do they come out of this situation that they're in right now? So everything has changed at Mamelodi Sundowns, and unfortunately, there is a transition period. Fortunately, I think for Sundowns, I still believe they're still a little cut above the rest in terms of being able to maybe maintain and maybe still kind of win this, even diminished a little. I mean, you watched an invincible season get beaten by the most wins in the PSL era season. There isn't much room to go from there. So I think there's going to be a little drop, and it's going to be up to the other teams to compete. Because even now as we speak, I know more games and all of that stuff, but they're number one. Psychologically, that's something. Abuskukuna is still going to be fighting how they're going to turn things around on their side. We saw Chiefs drop out. Pirates is possibly the only hope we have now, but they've also lost two games in the league already, so they need to go on a crazy run. But the transition was always going to be there. And unfortunately, Mamelodi Sundowns fans, Sundowns, you're always going to struggle with the transition. How they come out of this, I think it's going to be one of two things. It's either an ego is set aside and you start playing what the previous coach was playing at the risk of, you know, losing your own voice, at the risk of losing your own recognition. Even though it did pretty well last year, nobody cares at Mamelodi Sundowns right now, unfortunately. So it's either that happens or Ukarosa has to go on a radical win run. He has to go on such a generational winning run right now that even those who complain wouldn't be able to find fault. I think he has to modify some of that gameplay that he has. Because what I've noticed about Mamelodi Sundowns as well is that, again, you know, the back room mirrors the pitch. They've gone from a family appeal where even the way that they play was built around a family idea. I look after your weaknesses, you look after my weaknesses, we both prop up our strengths, right? Modiba, you're not that great of a 1v1 defender, but you're technical, but you're not that good in the midfield. What we're going to do is we're going to invert you so that you can go into the midfield, and we'll bring in Abo Allende, Abo Kutsi, Abo Mukwe, and Abo Zwane, so that there'll be an overload there. So you'll never have the full brunt of being a midfielder on your head. Then when you're defending, Kutsi will drop into the center and they'll push out and there'll always be a three. So you're always covered should you leave and not come back. Temba Zwane, we don't want you tackling. We don't need you at the back. So we're going to make sure that Mukwena Nokutsia become bodyguards lapa in the middle who win back those balls, and then Allende is going to be the connecting force that gives you the ball, so you don't necessarily have to drop all the way back, but you can play in that 10. Kimang Reinas, you're going to be on the side. What we're going to do is we're going to transition heavy, and we're going to make sure that we know you're not good at 1v1 dribbling, but we're going to play the ball quick and play it through because that's your strength, and we're going to minimize the weakness that you have. This was a Sundowns team, in essence, that understood how to cater for each other and look after each other. And through Coach Mangoba and now through Coach Cardoso, I think they're being asked to be complete players. I often say there's no such thing as a quality player. There's no such thing as a complete player. There's no such thing as guys who are just inherently good. The system makes or breaks you. And now I think people are learning that maybe the Sundowns players aren't the perfect players that we thought they are. Not to say they're bad. They aren't the perfect players we thought they are. And now that they're being shown out, maybe this will ask questions of them, especially if it's a coach coming from outside who doesn't have time to hold hands. Jopi chop, my job is on the line. I don't have time to hold your hand. Will they get better? I think with time they could get better, but I don't know if they have the time to do that. So Sundowns is dueling, essentially. Sundowns at a place where they're dueling against each other and internally, and they're having the growing pains of trying to change. I said before, it was a risk. But I don't think it was a bad risk. I don't think it was a risk made to kill the club. I think it was a risk that they looked at and said, guys, if we want to be the club we think we are, we have to move in a certain direction. And if that direction doesn't work, unfortunately, it's not like the one we had previously was working that well. It was a feeling. It felt like Urulani's team played more passes, even though stats-wise you're seeing that Caruso's teams play the same passes. It felt like they had more control, even though a lot of the times Coach Rulani was just throwing the kitchen sink in. It felt like this was a team that was dominating every single game, even in terms of scoreboard. But we forget about the draws, the drop points. We forget about the fatigue complaints. We forget about Coach Rulani coming out and begging for his contract, for him to finish his contract, because he saw, before a semi-final, because he saw Utilana Ngaliu. It's a feeling club. And once you move from a feeling club into a doing club, once you stop being Arsenal in terms of the rest of Africa and in cups, and you try to be Man City or Liverpool or Barcelona or Real Madrid, there's some soul sacrifice that needs to be done. But make no mistake about it, there'll always be growing pains. All of your favorite people struggled at a moment. Pep Guardiola came into Man City and he struggled. Now, I'm not saying Caruso is Pep Guardiola. I'm not saying that Caruso needs to stay. But what I'm saying was, City did all the prep to bring in Pep Guardiola. First season, I think he finished third or fourth. Even he said that I needed to modify some things because Begunzima. Jurgen Klopp came in and it took him a couple of years. I know he did incredible things, but it took a couple of years for him to lock in 19 players. But the question is, will there ever be a coach at Sundowns that's going to be allowed that time and space? Do they push on with Cardoso right now and go through the growing pains and stick with him and say, okay, we are hoping that you'll get this right? Do they start the in and out cycle of bringing in and taking out and bringing in and taking out coaches? Can they do that? These are all the questions that Sundowns has now. And whatever you think about it, it's not going to be an easy choice. It's not going to be an easy choice. Do they go back to the old system, swallow their pride, bring in some of the old guys? Maybe bring a pizza into Trotmoloto's role. Maybe bring back a Rulani or try get back a Rulani. Rebuild the three wise men. Very, very tough moment for Sundowns. But these are the moments where whatever your plan was, you chose. This is where you stick to it. When you brought in Pizzo and people complained, you stuck with him. Do you stick with Fleming? Do you stick with this new idea or direction long enough for it to stick? Can you? I'll see you guys on the next one.